something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara, and I'm delighted to have Deirdre Ryan from drdogcare.ie back on the phone this morning. Hiya Deirdre, how are you keeping?
Hi Trina, I'm fabulous, how are you?
I'm great. Now, the amount of people, I was only talking to my brother about this the other day, he was saying the kids want a dog because everyone in school got a COVID puppy, and it won't be happening in their household. Just to put it out there, kids, if you're listening, won't be happening in your household. But there's an awful lot of people who did this, and now the kids are back in school, so they're not there all day to look after this puppy who's now maybe even 6 months old at this point, or a little bit older. Yeah. And problems can begin now, can't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's such a tricky stage. You know, they've grown up. They're not the cute little puppy that they once were. They have a different bit of an attitude. They're bigger, they're bolder, they can get into more things, their teeth are stronger. Some refer to it as a secondary exploratory stage. When I'm in my classes, I kind of compare it to, say, the teenagers that have gotten their Leaving Cert results. So they're all ready and set, hopefully, to go to college and to fly the nest. And imagine if you then said to them, no, sorry, college is cancelled. You're going back to first class, first year, and you're going to do the whole 5 years again. So you imagine how much acting out that young teenager would have, because mm-hmm. they're expecting to go out and explore the world, and suddenly they're, you know, they're confined into their old routine. So it's the same with dogs. They're at this stage where naturally the hormones are telling them that they need to go out and explore the world, see lots of different things, learn lots of different things. And if they don't get that extra attention during this time, they'll start to re-explore what's in front of them. So they'll dig holes they never dug before in the world. They will eat cables they never chewed before. These are stages that you think you've overcome as a puppy, the chewing stages. And then when they start up again, people can get very frustrated and they don't know how to cope with it.
Yeah, I think when we had the pups, I think that they dug all the way to Australia at some point. So you want to see the garden destroyed. But people are losing patience, aren't they? And that's the key. I think an awful lot of people jumped into getting a dog during COVID. They didn't think about
Absolutely.
It long term. So, but they, you know, there are some people who will surrender a dog, but for the ones who are determined now not to do that, but they are faced with these problems, what can they do, Deirdre?
So there's lots they can do. First, to understand that it's normal. It's absolutely normal. The dog has not turned into the devil dog overnight. He's still the same lovable puppy that you got on the first day. He's just going through his teenage rebellious stage. Now, saying that, some dogs never go through this stage. Males are more prone to doing it than females because, again, naturally the hormones are telling them that they need to go out and about. So taking a step back, giving your dog a little bit extra exercise. Exercise solves a lot of problems. It relieves stress. It calms the dog. It satisfies their need for having been out and about and sniffed and explored. If your dog is going through a stage where he's not listening properly, and you know, the recall that you had perfectly as a puppy is kind of going out the window, use management tools to make sure that that doesn't become imprinted and become routine. So training lines, I use them all the time. They're so useful. They're similar to a line that you'd use lunging a horse. So it's a great intermediary tool between having your dog fully off lead and on lead. So dogs get very used to, when they have these long lines on, they get very used to you still having control over them. So it's much easier to get on the end of a long training line and guide your dog back and instruct him what you want to do, rather than having to try and run after your dog and catch him or her. Mm. And, you know, people were very accepting of all these cute little puppies during COVID, and they were all getting lots of attention usually puppies get, but obviously with the COVID, it wasn't as pronounced. But people are not going to be as tolerant as a bigger dog. You know, little puppies, nobody minds if they jump up or, you know, look for attention in that way. Mm-hmm. But when they start to grow into your Labrador or Labradoodle or whatever breed you've got, and they've come home from a muddy walk, people aren't as tolerant of that.
They can do real damage as well if they jump up on you and they're so much heavier now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the law states your dog, it doesn't necessarily have to be aggressive. The law states it's illegal for your dog to be out of control. And in most cases of dogs that end up in pounds, they're not aggressive. They're just out of control. You know, they've learned all these bad habits and they haven't been trained properly, and they end up knocking over the wrong person and, you know, potentially losing their life.
Oh,
so it is so important that they get through this stage safely for them and for you. But just to remember to stick it out, the extra walks, the bit of management, take out your crate again. If your dog was already house trained, your young male dog might start to relapse a little bit with maybe, you know, marking territory in the house or chewing things he never did, maybe out of a bit of frustration. So get the crate out again and go back to using the crate for a few weeks just to get you over there. It's not going to be forever. It's just going to get you over this hump. And management means not giving the dog an opportunity to practice behaviour that could become ingrained or behaviour that you might have to punish him for. Much better not to let these behaviours evolve in the first place and educate your dog into what he should be doing.
Shouting at a dog, does that work? Should you shout?
I wouldn't say shouting as such. So I would say to my customers, if you want to interrupt your dog, he's about to do something, literally you're about to get him in the act of doing something you don't want him to do, I would tell him to go, "Ooh!" You know, "What are you doing?" You know, not necessarily shouting, but an expression of, "Oh my
react,
God, what are you about to do?"
React,
you know,
yeah.
Without having to frighten him.
Yeah, you but
never
do alarm them in a
dog.
Way.
The
yeah.
dog should go, "Oh, Jesus, sorry, didn't mean to do that, sorry, apologise." And it should all be over in a second.
Okay.
But that's nearly more effective than, you know, shouting and hollering at him. That little emotional expression is really useful.
Talk to me then about the walking of a dog. I mean, how long and how far should a dog be walked every day? And they need a walk every day, don't they?
They should. And it's not just the length of the walk, but it's the quality of the walk. A lot of dogs, when you think about walking, say if you go for a 5 kilometre walk with your dog on a lead, you've walked 5 kilometres, the dog has walked 5 kilometres. That's a good walk for most dogs. But if you go for a 5 kilometre walk with your dog off lead, and your dog is a young, fit, healthy dog, you've walked 5 kilometres, your dog has probably walked 8. You know, he's up and he's back and he's sniffing and he's going into woods and he's coming back and he's dawdling and he's catching up with you and he's coming back to you. And you're doing recalls all the time and keeping the dog engaged. That's a much better quality of walk. And there's a direct relationship between dogs who develop behavioural issues in the house, like all those things we were talking about, chewing and digging and barking, and dogs that don't get enough off-lead exercise. But there's a balance and the other side of things where, you know, there is a very high anti-dog sentiment out there. Not very high, but there is, you know, there is areas where, you know, beaches have been barred from dogs. You know, people
know,
are putting up
yeah.
dog parks and then barring dogs from the rest of the places. And there's people who are genuinely fearful of dogs, of course. So as much as a dog needs off-lead exercise, that ability to be able to run and smell and explore, you need to do it safely and you need to have an instant recall that if you see a bike, a dog, especially another dog on a lead, kids, a jogger, anything like that, that if you're not sure that your dog is going to totally ignore them and walk by, you need to be able to call them back immediately and get them back under control. And that's where things go wrong, unfortunately.
Okay. Something for the weekend. We're in the middle of chatting to Deirdre Ryan from drdogcare.ie about how so many people have gotten COVID puppies, and you may have found that your gorgeous little tiny little puppy, who was as good as gold, has become a bit of a thug. Moving into the teenage years, I suppose, in doggy world. And now when people are going back to work and back to school and everything, they're probably spending that much more time on their own as well, Deirdre.
Absolutely. As we were saying earlier, the recall is so hugely important, and especially for the working breeds. And I know you have Labradors. They do have they were bred to run and to retrieve and to serve people and do a job. So, you know, breed research is really important. So if you didn't do it before you bought your breed, no harm to go and, you know, do a Google search on the breed that you have and find out what they were originally bred to do. And that will give you a clue as to what you can do to reward them and to motivate them to get a good recall. So, for example, your beagles, they were bred to follow a scent. So, you know, rewarding them or engaging them with a game with scent involved or with tracking is going to focus them. Your collie, your typical border collies, they have a stalk and chase reflex. They want to run and chase something. So you typically see people with a border collie out with a toy or a frisbee. And that will keep the dog really focused and engaged. And so many people in my classes, I'll ask them, does the dog like to play with toys? And they'll say, yes, he's got toys lying around all the time. He loves them. And I'll say, well, have you ever taken a toy anywhere apart from your house and played with your dog? And a lot of them haven't. It wouldn't even have occurred to them. And that's what you really need to do. And that's the real key to a good recall, that you have that relationship where your dog wants to go out into an area, any area at all, and have fun and engage with you. So when you have control of that toy, you have control of the dog. If you go into an area and go on your phone and just get your dog off the lead, and if you have maybe a hunting breed or a border collie or just a dog that's a bit bored, you know, they will make up their own fun. And that might be chasing other dogs. It might be chasing birds. It might be chasing squirrels. It might be chasing joggers or bikes. They will look for something to do. And if you don't intervene and give them something appropriate to do, which is play with you and retrieve and engage with you on a walk, they will find their own fun. And that's where people get into trouble and dogs get into mischief. And it's not their fault, because they're bred to do something. And if you don't get in there and control that and give them access to something suitable, they'll find something very unsuitable.
When they're at home, Deirdre, if a dog is chewing the skirting board or something like that, is that a sign of boredom, that they just want to be out?
Potentially. It depends on the context. If they're doing it when you're there, Yeah, he's probably just a bit bored. If he's doing it when you're not there, it would depend on the exit. I think we touched on that before, one of our last chats, about separation issues. But if he's doing it when you're there, yeah, it's probably just, you know, chewing is a great reliever of stress in dogs. Raw bones are fantastic. Free treat you can get. All the butchers will just be delighted to give you a bag of raw bones, which are fantastic for your dog's teeth, for their general health, and as a stress reliever. So if you find your dog, your older dog, 8 to 12 months or whatever, 14 months for the bigger breeds, is starting to re-explore his or her environment, get those chewies out, get those, you know, raw bones, raw hides. I like to use raw hides as well. Lots of interactive toys out there that you might have forgotten about as a puppy, your Kongs, your lick mats, all those things that can, you know, you're giving your dog something to do that's productive, that they can do, that's acceptable, rather than getting them into the routine of chewing things that they shouldn't.
Yeah, very important, by the way, to make sure the bones are not cooked, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, I'll often say it to people about a raw bone, and then they're like, oh, so you bring it home and cook it? I'll be like, no, raw bones. And people can be squeamish about it and find, you know, it's a bit strange. But, you know, dogs are carnivores, and even though they're domesticated, and we've been feeding them commercial diets for years, they're still very well able to, you know, to chew and enjoy a raw bone.
Mm. When bones are cooked, they become brittle, don't they? And that can get stuck in the dog's stomach, and you'll end up in the vet getting an operation. Won't be good. Can you talk to me, Deirdre, then, about this jumping up?
Have a chat to anyone else in the household to make sure there's nobody maybe intentionally encouraging him to jump up. You know, even giving the paw can be the first step to jumping up. They give one paw, they give another paw, and suddenly they're on top of you.
Yeah.
So if anyone is doing any kind of training like that, maybe discourage them from doing it. A simple trick is just really make a big emphasis on the sit and get the timing in. Timing is so important. So the very second that bum hits the ground, they get the reward. What I would generally advise in the training class is dogs will jump up usually for attention. Sometimes for excitement, but usually for attention. Attention to a dog is eye contact. Even shoving them down, physical contact is attention. And saying something, even shouting at them, for some dogs, maybe they haven't seen you all day, that's attention. So I usually advise, if the dog jumps up, you're going to fold your arms, you're going to turn your back on the dog, and you're not going to say anything. Or if you do say something, you're going to say or no. Some kind of tone that you'll generally use to interrupt behavior that you don't like with your dog. Most dogs will learn very quickly that jumping up, instead of them getting the attention or the food that they want, it's the exact opposite, and you totally disengage from them. So that can be useful as well.
How can we contact you if we want to get some more info on how to control our dogs and kind of make life easier for everyone as well? You'll enjoy your dog more if you have them under control.
Absolutely. And there's trainers all over the country that would be only delighted and willing to help. And there's equipment. If you know, for whatever reason, you can't get your dog off lead, there's front attached harnesses, there's head collars, and, you know, worst case scenario, there's dog walkers out there that will be able to help. But I can be found on drdogcare.ie, and I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube too. But there's plenty of trainers all over the country who'd only be delighted to keep your dog in your home.
Okay. Deirdre, we'll catch up very soon. Thanks so much for that info. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.